May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.
Howdy, howdy. This is the Cosmic Cowboy with Cosmic Love for Saturday, April 20th, 2024. And today I'll be discussing two newsletters from over this last week. The first one from about a week ago was called The Great Awakening via Tribulations and Triumph. And a few days ago I published some shock therapy called Those Who Profit from War and Disease Are Killing Us. A little drama there. Actually, that's kind of a short and sweet, potent little piece. I'll be finishing up with that. And then I'll begin with the first one, I think, because I give some history. That's kind of a high level of self-disclosure, like I've never done before over the last 50 years. Some history of what's going on now with conscious evolution, revolution, revelations, and my role in that. I'll be going into that. But first, it's time for a cosmic weather report with some astrology psychology at this time while I'm giving the show live. So today the sun is in Taurus and the moon is in Virgo, and they're both in Earth signs. So if you feel a little more dense than usual, that may be why. I'll try not to go so fast today. Taurus is the slowest of all the signs, and it's called the bull for a good reason. And like I say, the sun's there and the moon is in, you know, it's trying the moon in Virgo. Well, no. It's not exactly trying. It's more of an inconjunct. But anyway, regard, there's kind of a density there. And anyway, let's dance the slow and easy, like a meditation in motion. There is some excitement going on right now with Uranus exactly conjunct Jupiter, and both are trying the moon. Now, I'm talking about a Jupiter-magnified Uranus aspect of lightning flashes on insight into the mysteries of conscious evolution. And again, this is the time of revelations, and there's astrology psychology going on right now in the quantum field. If you resonate with it strongly, the you sensitives that are out there, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, cosmic love is a multi-dimensional thing. So with this cosmic weather report, open your mind to the cosmic spirit that matters for mediation of the matrix. Kind of a meditation, you know, mediation of the matrix from moment to moment. You know, creating a little momentum, moment to moment, as you mediate the matrix of quantum reality as you know it, as you filter it. You know, from your perspective, you know, we're off like fractal windows into the holographic field. And, you know, how holograms are, you know, any part of that hologram is a window into the whole from a different unique perspective. And as we increasingly transform ourselves or transition ourselves, you know, into the Aquarian field of energies, the quantum field of Aquarius, the deep space energies that we've entered into as our solar system has passed up through the galactic plane the last 100 years, which is why we've gone from horse and buggy worldwide for thousands of years. We're gone in 100 years, we're into the space age because of the quantum field, the galactic plane, our solar system passing through that. That's what the whole 2012 thing was really about. You know, it was the precession of the equinox, that 26,920-year cycle whereby our solar system orbits up and below and then back up again through the galactic plane. The ancients were really into that. They saw what was coming with Aquarius. They saw that it was going to be a time of revelations, and by ding, by golly, that's what we got. So with this meditation, mediation, whatever you want to call it, visualize a clear mountain lake that reflects the heavens and lets you see to the bottom with all your thoughts down there swimming around. And as you still your thoughts and identify with the relative calm, let's just say at the eye of a hurricane, you want to remain centered and connected, or you get caught up in the swirl and get thrown off center. So you want to keep in the all-seeing eye of the hurricane, of the source field, the quantum field of all connected quantum reality from atomic to galactic, worlds without end, you know, the instant everywhere interactive universe, which is being introduced to global humanity through the instant everywhere and interactive internet. So we're talking about the big shift from internet to internet, quantum reality. And they're calling it the Aquarian Quantum Age because quantum science, the unified field principles, processes, theory, etc., the singularity of all things, how it's all connected, is it becoming more well known. You know, it's not mainstream yet. I mean, we're not fully into Aquarius yet. It's going to take a while. The unified field consciousness is maturing. But anyway, hold that thought while I go into these two articles: The Great Awakening by Way of Tribulations and Triumph, and then Those Who Profit from War and Disease Are Killing Us. But first, The Great Awakening by Way of Tribulations and Triumph. Now, those of you who are familiar with the show and how I create and provide a multimedia show, if you can pull up, the article that I'm referring to, which will be in the show notes. And those of you who know the routine, you can always go to heartcom.org and go to The Great Awakening Crisis. For this year, the whole series I've been publishing since the first of the year, the 2024 Quantum Quickening series. Well, in that series, the last two published newsletters at the bottom of that archive page, there's this Great Awakening by Way of Tribulations and Triumph, which I'm going into now. And like I say, you can pull that up again from the show notes if you're listening to the podcast in the future, or right now if you know how to do that. Through going to the Quantum Quickening series and the links I provide on the website, or you can just put into your computer, your search bar, 2024 Quantum Quickening series. It'll come right up. You scroll down to the last two articles and you can follow along with the narrative that I'm going through. I'm basically doing a reading, but I'm going into more detail and going off script a little bit. Again, I hope I'm not talking too fast. I'm going to try to keep it congruent. Heart coherent and mind congruent is my pure intention. And if you go to the page I'm referring to, on The Great Awakening, Tribulations and Triumph, the byline there is finally discovering that which was beyond the veil of awareness, the understanding of a higher concept of God is love as geometric ordered divinity, thought forms that are geometric, that reference the law of the one, two and one, the three and one, trinity, the four and one, the archetypes of Jung, universal archetypes of the four and one, the pyramid of self and civilization, the city four square, the New Jerusalem, these mystical archetypes of religious, you know, religions east and west. These are universal archetypes, as Jung would say. So I provide a graphic of that at the top of the page with the love model I refer to. And you can click on that, and the link I provide goes to basically an understanding of these codes, these love codes for cosmic law, universal law language for global community. I'm not saying a lot, but I'm referring to a higher concept of love for Aquarian enlightenment. This has been the theme of cosmic love for 15 years. So we've all witnessed how blatantly corrupt corporatocracy has used and abused constitution-based democracy, but there is a change in the hearts of mankind, you know, of, by and for all people. When we see the problem, the solution becomes self-evident in terms of problem being an evil, you might say an energy veil that has been perpetrated by dark side, deep state, power elite potentates who are ethical infants with no power other than that which they have hijacked with deception on a mass global scale. And of course, the solution is we got to take our power back. And the way we do that is, you know, a higher concept of love as provides an interactive interface for mass-to-mass telecommunications, telecommuting, telecare, teleconscience, telecommerce. I go into that more with the links at the bottom of the page, but I do a lot of these newsletters with, you know, light and love on the front end and the back end. Then I get into strong meat. Strong meat being, you know, truth-telling that's uncommon. And again, why it's uncommon? You know, why do they, how and why do they keep common sense uncommon? Well, I'll be going into that. I provide a cartoon here after I'm talking about, you know, the power trips of the power elite. There's a picture of a little boy leaning back on like a windowsill or something, and he's saying to his mother, "Mother, why do we have wars?" And mother's got her hands open, says, "Because we are ruled by an elite group of psychopaths who own the banks that control the governments and media, and they fund both sides of the war for profit, and they manufacture the consent of the public through the propaganda of the media. Thank you, dear, for asking." Anyway, that whole problem, you might say, that sick system, dysfunctional system, that's largely disintegrating globally. We're in transition and transformation. It's going on worldwide now. People are waking up, wising up, rising up. And the dark side, deep state stuff is over, you know, when we basically, you know, wise up and rise up. So when it's over, you know, you might say the old order is over when we, the people, finally just rise up to say, you know, you fooled us with 9/11 and COVID and Ukraine and also all your big media disinformation pushing big government tyranny that inverts, subverts, and perverts our common sense, our common united sense due to the divisive dialectic that has us squabbling among ourselves rather than refusing to comply with your agenda that sabotages sovereignty for Big Brother control of us as United Sovereigns of Earth in the new America, which is an anagram, scrambled letters for the I am race. Now, this is sounding a little metaphoric, metaphysical, but the point I'm making here is that the new Aquarian, quote, I am, is, quote, we are, as in united, with the same I am ID that identifies with a higher concept of unity and diversity by way of interactive heartware cyber ethics, love and action as the healthy and holy spirit that matters. Spirit matters, the spirit that matters, as above, so below, love and action, holy spirit. And heartware is a hyperlink concept, which I'm going to be going into more. We're talking about the next big thing and phase in the computer internet revolution after hardware, software, and netware is heartware. And that's the trending. So if you're into where things are going to create the culture, you know, the new we are, one, our identity, identifying individually and collectively with this whole concept of unity in diversity, well, then you'll be interested in clicking on that heartware link and seeing where that's going. So point being is that common sense is uncommon because the dark side, deep state, plutocrats, technocrats, and bureaucrats behind the scenes are making a killing, literally, by creating and managing incessant crisis, you know, like war and disease, fear of death, to force our compliance with their sinister intent that lacks a vision of virtue and valor for the victory of our conscientious common sense. You know, call it effective sensory perception or whatever. You know, there's when you have effective, when you have ESP in terms of effective sensory perception, there's nothing extra about it. It's just effective. And that's where we're going, kind of a unified field, unity consciousness. And, you know, basically enlightened sense of, you know, we're not just connected, you know, basically at heart, you know, the heart of each one's heart, we are one. So those special interests that we see, you know, the deep state special interest in population reduction, they have a vested interest in population control by keeping common sense uncommon, or it's game over for them. So that's really the bottom line. You know, their time is short, their fear is great, and we need to understand that representative government of, by, and for the people, as in all people, can be messy, but it sure beats tyranny from the top. So I'm getting around to a story here that I've been developing for 50 years, and I'm going to give an orientation. I mean, there's a history to this global quickening, which is the theme of 2024, the quantum quickening series. And there's a process going on and a history to this process of global quickening of abundance, abundant energy, conscience, and health. I'll be going more into this in the next piece also, because this understanding of our whole economic system as a function of the creation and management of scarcity rather than abundance. So there's a quickening of the abundant consciousness for abundant energy and health. And I'm going to go through this in three parts. The first part being the cheap, clean energy power for the abundant life. And part two is the abundant social conscience in social networks. And part three is global reinvention of the healthcare system. So abundant energy, abundant consciousness, abundant health, this is where it's going. We're in a transition phase right now. So I'm going to go into basically a story, a true story that is being published actually in the issue of Natural Life News for this next 2 months, for May and June issue. And so I'm giving you kind of a preview of that. You'll be able to go to Natural Life News. This is a feature article. It's a 3-page article. I'm going to read from that. And there are links, of course, in this article that on the web page, if you're following along from the narrative of the page I just referred to, you can see the hot links and you can read those hot links. You can, if you're listening to the podcast, of course, you can pause the podcast and watch the, or read the links, or watch the videos that are embedded, so you can have a multimedia show. You know, you can choose which articles you want to read, which links you want to go to for more in-depth information, which videos you want to watch. You know, you have a custom, you have your own custom multimedia show. So I'm going to go into now from the copy that was I've codified, curated from several different writings I've had recently on this pioneering of an Aquarian vision over the last 50 years. So take it from the top. Back in, and I'm going to, back in 1974, I addressed 10 agencies of the federal government on Capitol Hill. And finally, we're seeing the Aquarian quantum age gain some traction. So a little backstory here is 50 years ago in July of 1974, I attended Buckminster Fuller's month-long World Game Studies workshop at the University of Pennsylvania. Now, for example, in my copy that I provided in the link, the archive link, World Game Studies workshop is hyperlinked, and you can read a little bit of a history on Buckminster Fuller's World Game. So basically, it's a design science workshop where we look at what's called a process of comprehensive anticipatory design science for problem solving, and for basically the taking inventory of the trendings. The trendings, the understanding of where, you know, basically future modeling with the same understanding of the driver of a car or pilot of a ship, whether an airship or an ocean ship, they have to see what's coming up in the future and trend and to steer in that direction. Well, the direction of trendings, you know, of global civilization is what we are basically discussing. And we did future modeling of the abundant energy capabilities of hydrogen fuel cell technology that utilizes specific frequencies to split the H2O water molecule and separate the hydrogen fuel for burning with the oxygen component to power cars and clean energy generators for home and industry. You know, no toxic petrochemical side effects. So back at that time, Stanley Myers and others were running cars across the country by simply putting water in the fuel tank. The simple quantum technology utilizing frequency to split the water molecule was demonstrably proven, and the implications were vast. I mean, this, and then I reference, this is a book we published from our research, and it's called Energy, Earth, and Everyone. There's a graphic of it, you know, on the website. And in the foreword, Buckminster Fuller wrote, quote, "This book makes it incontestably clear that it is feasible to harvest enough energy to provide all humanity and all their generations to come with a higher standard of living and greater freedom than ever have been experienced by any humans, and to do so by 1985, while completely phasing out all further use or development of fossil fuels, atomic and fusion energies." Now, of course, this didn't happen by 1985 because this was disruptive technology, disrupting the big oil status quo monopoly. I mean, Stanley Meyer was assassinated after refusing to back down on a mass production facility of his carburetors that would split the hydrogen again, the oxygen, and then combine them both and burn them. I mean, the only byproduct was like water that would drip out of the tailpipe. So this is called water fuel cell technology. And in Germany, Mercedes-Benz actually produced some buses that ran on the water fuel cell. But they were shut down. And in Japan, a company went into production of a small car that ran on water. And I provide a picture of that in the article. It'll be in the Natural Life News article also, a picture of a water car that was going into production, but they were also shut down. So the question now is, are we now seeing finally a great awakening to quantum science and quantum water power, folks? I mean, you think of the industrial age and how the water wheel was used to harness power, you know, to grind grain, and, you know, but now your water power coming from the water molecule, and there's abundance of it, you know, you put it in the generator tank, you know, to run the generator for the home or the, you know, for the car, you know, you could, you know, just, you know, you could have a just direct combustion engine, or you could have a generator on the car that ran the electricity, that ran the wheels, you know, electrically. I mean, you know, it could be electrical generator in the car, and it could be electric car. There's all kinds of possibilities, because, and it's clean, you know. And we haven't heard about it, but now there's an article, hydrogen burning, it's called Alpenglow Hypercar, is about to go endurance racing. So this was an article from New Atlas Magazine on April 14th. Quote, "After a couple of hell-raising concept iterations, Alpine's hydrogen combustion fire and ice Alpenglow Super Racer is finally prepped and revved up for the track. It'll make its dynamic debut next month at the Spa-Francorchamps 6-hour endurance event in Belgium, running its hydrogen combustion engine on its first public outing." So, there, you know, it's coming back. It's coming back, folks. I mean, this is going to be a high profile demonstration of hydrogen combustion technology and capabilities. I mean, this could be a real breakout. And if you think about it, the denial of abundant H2O energy, you know, water power for everyone is not for the lack of how-to science. I mean, for 50 years, it's been suppressed. I mean, I was working on this 50 years ago with the World Game Studies Workshop. The technology existed then. But trillions of dollars are at stake for big oil. So they bankroll the climate crisis industry, controlled opposition, blaming bogus CO2 emissions like they blamed an invisible virus, with the same hyped-up warnings of mass casualties that we don't take the shot, lock down society and surrender our sovereignty for security until we have neither sovereignty or security. I mean, same thing with the climate crisis, you know. So, I mean, look at how this has worked out in the medical sense. I mean, the pharmaceutical, I call it the pharmacidal medical industrial complex, they're making a killing on vaccines. I mean, in the short term, and they profit tenfold on a lifetime of harmful side effects. I mean, they lied that they were safe and effective, and now they deny that there are millions of people worldwide who have been killed or severely harmed. In reference to that, there's an article by Edward Dowd, and he explained, quote, "Ever since the COVID-19 vaccine came out, 1.1 million Americans have died excessively, 4 million were permanently disabled, and another 28 million were seriously injured," unquote. That's Edward Dowd in a very comprehensive article. So, personally, I had my own children vaccinated with non-toxic homeopathic nosodes, you know, by a medical doctor who was also a homeopath. It was Dr. Masmin Panos. She was actually retired, but she was, you know, still doing some family practice, and I lived nearby, and she was the former president of the National Center of Homeopathy. These were non-toxic injections. You know, they're called nosodes. But now my children have their own children, and I strongly advise them to avoid the highly toxic new mRNA shots that are genetically modifying kids with an insane injection schedule of 64 shots. And I provide a link on that. Go to a webpage that goes into detail on this insane injection schedule of 64 shots. There's numerous videos and articles on that page. So this is what I do for those who are on the newsletter list and receive the newsletters where the hot links are provided. Now, in this Natural Life News article, we'll also have the hot links provided. So, you know, again, those who want to go deeper with the videos and articles, you can always pause the podcast if you're listening to the podcast. But again, those are live. I pretty much am resonating with the spirit in the field right now, as I addressed in the Cosmic Weather Report. But anyway, listen to what Joe Rogan clearly stated recently in the 2-minute video that I provided the link. And he talks about the medical hypocrisy of mass pharmacide with mRNA shots. In other words, he's referencing what's going on with this hypocrisy, that they're not safe and effective, and they're killing people, and they're just doubling down and saying, you know, get some more shots. Like, it's like, they're, you know, like no one is wising up. I mean, they have, you know, their game is over, basically. And they're showing themselves. The whole world is waking up. I mean, it's got to the point where, you know, it's like our survival instincts are finally kicking in. So anyway, I digress. Back to Bucky's World Game. I gave a lecture on the trending, which is what we do trend analysis of the World Game. And I gave a lecture on the trending future of breakthrough communication technologies for upgrading our core constitutional freedoms, a speech, assembly, petition, government, etc. And some of the attendees of this World Game were members of the World Future Society and Barbara Marx Hubbard's Committee for the Future. And after my lecture, they asked me these members to get a couple of them asked me to give the highlights, especially the key assistant of Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of in the World Future Society. He asked me specifically if I would give the highlights of my lecture to 10 agencies of federal government. And, a few months later at a futuristic summit, that debriefed the U.S. government, 10 agencies of the U.S. government, on scenarios for how they could celebrate the bicentennial era from 76 to 89, the 13 years from the Declaration of Independence to ratification of the Constitution. So Barbara Marx Hubbard's synergy was called, and this was the 1974 SynCon, they called it. And they had a really beautiful professional booklet on the SynCon, which stands for Synergy Convergence. In other words, kind of a convergence synergistically of some of the best and brightest ideas for the future that we gave on Capitol Hill, a presentation. Well, after 3 days of presentations in the Science and Astronautics Chamber of the Rayburn Building on Capitol Hill, I gave the concluding address summing up a systemic upgrade of our horse and buggy representation systems that, we still have, but an upgrade with an electronic space age update of our core freedoms to shine for the world as the American Revolution once did. I thought that would be the highest and best way to fulfill the divine destiny of America with new technology, for the capabilities of restoring and upgrading and updating, the first principles of the Constitution. Well, in about 10 minutes, I summed it up, how all social problems are at core communication problems with a communication solution. So what I explained, and this was at that time, 50 years ago, cable TV systems with satellite downlinks had just wired the nation with mandates for public access channels open to citizen interaction. And I explained how that interaction could be optimized with an update of our core constitutional freedoms, utilizing mini computers at the public access stations. These could process instant evaluation of content by hundreds or thousands of viewers simultaneously, like an electronic town hall meeting that qualifies consensus with a universal interface based on light language, the language of consciousness, that represents, the processes of consciousness, the language of consciousness itself. So 50 years later now, and it didn't happen back then. Why it didn't happen? Part of the provide a link to the full story. You can go to that if you want to know it didn't happen. But basically, as a junior college vice president said, who came up to me after I gave my presentation, and I came over and I went to sit down, and of course, it was the end of the three-day conference. I gave his keynote address and go to sit down. And this junior college vice president from New York City comes up to me and he says, the problem with this is, and his eyes got real wide, and he says, this would eliminate bureaucracy. You're not going to hear from these agencies of the federal government. And that was kind of a shocker. It's kind of like that movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, if you know that story. I was like a country bumpkin, and I just figured, they're interested in the best and brightest ways to update and upgrade, all our core freedoms, to celebrate the revolution. Well, they weren't interested in that. They were interested in pretty much expanding their bureaucracies and owning and controlling things in the process. I had no understanding that there was anything like a deep state back at that time. But bureaucracies, they have their own life. These people aren't elected, their career bureaucrats and the people that head up these agencies of federal government, as their agencies expand, they get more responsibility, power, and money for their own advancement. So this was a wake-up call for me. But if you think about it now, today, what was the head end of the cable TV public access channel right now? It can be one's own smartphone or laptop or desktop computer that you can create a video on and access it, you know, a website whereby, again, 100, 1,000, or a million people could respond at the same time using this interface, universal interface, that creates with three numbers in sequence, a dot in a cube, at any one moment, and those three numbers representing the dimension from, you know, brightness scale, the light, of, the language of light of consciousness, brightness scale, color spectrum, and meaningful, meaningless, you know, three dimensions, like vertical dimension of brightness scale, and you might say the white light of the infinite eternal hits the third eye and prism and refraction to all the colors of the rainbow from left brain to right brain. So you can say with a 1 to 10 scale, with 1 on the ends and 0, 10 in the middle, that a program is too bright, authoritative, and sophisticated, or too dark, dense, and, you know, below you at any one moment when you're watching a video. It's like the brightness scale. Color spectrum being, if it's too left brain linear logical letter of the law, you might say the horizontal dimension, or right brain's nonlinear spherical spirit of the law. I mean, it's again, there's a point of relationship. If it's balanced, it would be used a zero on the 1 to 10 scale, representing the 10, and the 1 would be on the end, and 5 would be halfway to the middle, with the idea of if it's too bright and authoritative and sophisticated, the program content, you would say one extreme that means that in the other sense is that if you think it's too bright and authoritative and sophisticated, it's because you're too dark, dense, and, you know, on the other end of the scale. So the ones would be on the end, the balance centered and connected where you're one with, you resonate with the message on all three dimensions. That would be a, you know, zero on three numbers in sequence. Again, creating an XYZ coordinate axis the whole point being that singular point of how you are conscious at any one moment, and you have a field of these dots at any one moment, you'll be able to see how 100 or 1,000 or a million people all came together in this unified field called, reference the cosmic cube, with a little 3D cube in the lower right-hand side of your smartphone or your computer screen that would show, you know, this little 3D cube and a field of dots, and you would see your dot where your response was with a red dot blinking. So this is called wisdom of the cloud or wisdom of the crowd, and how you basically recycle general knowledge to generate specific wisdom. And so this light language, this language of consciousness, basically could represent our collective, our individual and collective consciousness in a way that people then could create new videos referencing the context and meaning at any one point of videos, of, you know, public videos. So with critical issues, you'd be able to have cooperative communication coordination, with whether it be a small group or a billion people, and you would be able to see a patterning of collective consciousness and your relationship to it with your red dot blinking within that field. So this is hardware I'm referring to as the next major phase of the computer internet revolution, after the emphasis of, you know, hardware, IBM, software, Microsoft, and Netscape with, you know, netware. So hardware, software, netware, and heartware. So this opportunity to upgrade our five core internet freedoms with enlightened social conscience is for the evolutionary ascent of the family of mankind in our new all-connected global village. And this is the final frontier for us as united sovereigns of Earth. We'll thus be explored with our new ability to navigate inner space as the internet, with the interactive capability of Web 3.0 cyber ethics, you know, hardware. So this has been a work of love for me for 50 years, developing, you know, the hardware project. I have a whole website on that that's linked. A hardware project for cooperative communication coordination between East and West, both hemispheres of the world brain, you might say, providing unity in diversity, unity consciousness for a global evolution, revolution, you know, emphasizing 90% of the word revolution is evolution, you know, worldwide. So the we're talking about, you know, how to create a culture, the unified field of consciousness. Now, I love this quote by Erwin Schrödinger, who was Nobel Prize in Physics, who said, quote, consciousness is never experienced in the plural, only in the singular. The total number of minds in the universe is one. In fact, consciousness is a singularity phasing within all beings. In other words, if you are heart coherent and you resonate with the frequency of holy compassion, which is basically a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm when it's in the frequency of joy and compassion, that frequency is virtually the glue that holds the universe together. It's like it's the coherence factor, which is the law of the one. Basically, you know, it's like the how we are one at heart. And I go into different articles. I've gone into this over the years. This has kind of been a major theme of cosmic love, that there's no smart without heart. The way you become mind congruent is you are first heart coherent with this frequency of joy and compassion. It's like the centered and connected spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. So spiritualizing matter on earth as in heaven is an uplifting process that acts as the leaven for the bread of life, love and action, to neutralize evil and transcend all faction. So love and action to transcend all faction, by culturing social conscience in our global social network communities, we are in fact community building, coming into unity with decentralized, open, transparent communications for a new common sense of we are one. So the Aquarian quantum age has arrived. Energy fields within fields now realized. Telecare is a function of telecom, our global holistic healing supervised. So the whole telecare process of global holistic healing is like the alpha and omega in cooperation, coordination with global telecom as a communication process that is self-regulating for self-determination through, again, the language of light of consciousness and a universal interface for global communication, coming into unity. I like this concept of, you know, this is how we get our act together. And aspire to inspire before you retire or expire. I'm a little playing with words there a little bit, but the idea is, let's get with the program, folks. You know, we've got to have the opportunity, you know, to basically culture global, you know, more light and love, easier and faster. I like to think, you know, that's going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I got a graphic here, one of my favorite graphics, actually, that shows the relationship of consciousness as, you know, in the field is that singularity within, and it's like representing a bottle. Outside the bottle, and inside the bottle is the concept of spirituality. And inside that bottle of spirituality, there's another bottle of religion. You might say religion is a subset of spirituality, which is a subset of unity consciousness. A little graphic that represents this. So this whole come into unity process that emphasizes the TLC in telecom and telecare is a form of sacred communion with cosmic law as universal law language, framing the constitution of natural law principles and quantum processes operating from the atomic to the galactic and worlds without end universally. So this process of identifying with and resonating with more frequent frequencies of global TLC is the creative ascent process, CAP, creative ascent process, known as the capstone of our individual and collective identity. So this conscientious evolutionary ascent process is also known as information ecology, recycling general knowledge in the way that empowers specific wisdom, you know, as in heart coherence with mind congruence, you know, a higher concept of love as the language of the angels and the law of the angels. Now, these concepts are hyperlinked here in the article I've referenced that's archived, you know, on the website. You can read about the language of the angels, which is the coherence factor, and the law of the angels is the first principles of cosmic law, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, 1, geometric order divinity, the heart and mind of God, G-O-D, geometric order divinity for the Aquarian quantum age of light and love. So we're talking about a process for defining, refining, and shining a new common sense whereby East meets West with the universal hardware interface for the family of mankind and our all connected, unified global village. This is the intent of the Heartware Project. Now, you can have a link on that. This, you might say, if the product that I'm referring to is a process, the Heartware Project, for conscientious evolutionary ascent of social conscience and our local and global social network. So keep the faith, folks. Hold the vision. See the good. Sustain the virtue. And make it so. Claim the victory. More light and love, easier and faster, because the Aquarian quantum age may be much different from what you imagined, yet much better than you ever thought possible. I mean, the bottom line is higher power, you know, cosmic love with, I mean, love, just the concept of love with all your strength, mind, heart, and soul, and you're all connected, netizen neighbors as thyself. You know, netizen, the global internet, netizens, the new citizens in our global village, the family of mankind, and an instant everywhere interactive global village. So anyway, that's that article. And I was talking about, you know, cheap, clean energy power for the abundant life. I went through that, and much of the content that I referred to is from the website. The third part that I go into is the global rejuvenation of the healthcare system, global telecare. I go into that more so on the website. That's a whole nother section. And specific articles recently, infographics that are powerful, some pretty shocking stuff. And there's some infographics that are phenomenal. And I don't have time to go into those in detail. Again, you can go into that more depth from the article, and the article on the website provides the hot links that I was just referring to. So the last article, just published a few days ago, it was kind of a shocker. Those who profit from war and disease are killing us. Economics based on the value of scarcity creates a scarcity of peace and health. And what I went on to say, and the whole point here, is that in an age of unprecedented potential abundance, the elite who create and manage scarcity for their profit and power over us, not of, by, and for us, but to control us, that scarcity and that creating and managing of scarcity epitomizes the defect of the prevailing system of scarcity economics. And believe me, and the whole point of this article is the our prevailing system of scarcity economics is referring to the value of scarcity, which is an oxymoron, and how abundance is destroyed virtually or suppressed to maintain the scarcity that keeps prices, profit, and control high. So the point is that as the Aquarian dispensation matures, with rise of the divine feminine energies, an abundance of win-win cooperation will transcend the win-lose competition energies, making scarcity economics increasingly scarce. This is the big shift from win-lose to win-win, from scarcity to abundance. And those who monopolize the scarcity of energy, peace, health, and happiness have succeeded to the point where gross defects Gross defects in their mainstream monopolies now obscure the former benefits of our core social, political, and economic systems. For example, I go into the military-industrial complex, the medical-industrial complex, and the security-industrial complex. And I go into details of each one of those and I explain how, for example, the military-industrial complex is highly vested in endless wars for ongoing profits. Banksters thrive on orchestrated alarm, fear of mass dying, so they can arm both sides of conflict. We're seeing that with Iran, the best enemy that money can buy. Biden and Obama shoveled billions of dollars into Iran, gave them so they can build the missiles that they send with this tit for tat with Israel, sending the missiles back and forth, Israel attacking Iran attacking Israel, and they continue to blow up these missiles, and the military-industrial complex thrives. But as the war economy thrives, peace dies. And there's a great quote by James Madison, fourth U.S. president, who was the chief architect of the Constitution, who said back in 1795, quote, "Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded, because it comprises and develops the germ of every other problem. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare," unquote. James Madison. So the bought off and blackmailed politicians who vote for war and the media prostitutes who ramp up war mania are guilty of crimes against humanity. This is what's going on with Gaza. It's a 21st century genocide broadcast live 24/7 to the whole planet. There's an article on that. You can read about that. This is controversial stuff, kind of shock therapy. It's like reality therapy. If we don't get congruent, if we're not heart coherent, if we're not one with the family of mankind as a whole, we won't be mind congruent. In other words, this genocide with 24/7 murdering of people, in Gaza, it's depressing the collective consciousness. It is an assault on our conscience as a whole. I mean, this is in-our-face mass murder, is collective judgment of the quick and the dead. Those with a conscience and those who are insensate, soulless, or otherwise stuck in negativity, S-I-N, stuck in negativity. So the price of atonement is atonement for S-I-N, sin, stuck in negativity. Atonement for sin by waking up to the spirit that matters for overcoming the self-destructive insanity of a corrupt and insensate power elite who are ethical infants and acting out the shadow cast by general enlightenment with the Great Awakening. So it's time for shadow work, folks, bringing light to dark places for the Great Enlightenment. Not just the Great Awakening, but the Great Enlightenment. So I love this quote by Daniel Pinchbeck. I use it a lot. It is, quote, "If the shadows appear to be getting darker, it's because the light that casts them is getting brighter. The light of Aquarius, deep space energies of Aquarius coming through for more light and love, easier and faster." So I go into part two and part three, part two on the medical industrial complex, where I explain how they are highly vested in endless disease for ongoing profits. So banksters and their big media minions, they thrive on public alarm, again, mass disease and death, to compel mass pharmacide, which is mass drugging for whatever ails you. We're talking about modern-day snake oil. So holistic health is not profitable under the value of scarcity, again, which is an oxymoron. The value of scarcity, it's an oxymoron. That's the economic system we have. It's a self-sabotaging system of scarcity economics. And the first day of medical school, what do they teach you? Basically preventive medicine kills return business. It kills return business. The healthcare system has been subverted for disease profiteering. The sickness care economy thrives as health dies. So there's a 2-minute video by RFK Jr., who has probably done more to wake up the world to the medical industrial complex than anyone. And he has this 2-minute video. It's a must watch. He takes aim at BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, and reveals how mega corporations profit from the public's sickness on multiple levels. And there's an article that goes into that. There's a quote by Robert F. Kennedy where he says, quote, "The vaccine companies are making $60 billion a year selling mandatory vaccines. They're also making $500 billion a year selling EpiPens, inhalers, anti-seizure medications, diabetes and arthritis meds, etc. Virtually all of the medications they sell are targeted to treat diseases that are listed as side effects of the vaccines on their own manufacturer inserts. It's the perfect business model. They make us all sick and create lifetime customers." Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, that guy is courageous. He's out there saying it. He has said it. And Paul Craig Roberts just said it in our April 9th article. He says, the last thing Big Pharma wants is a healthy population. Big Pharma needs the sick populations for its profitability. Indeed, Big Pharma creates vaccines and medicines that make us sicker, so we need more medication. That's just an excerpt from that article. Now, I also go into the surveillance and censorship complex. I don't have time to get into that right now. There's some great articles and there's some videos. Brilliant video by the Reese Report. Just a 4-minute video. And highly recommend you get a chance to read those articles and videos on the security complex, whereby they make us insecure and want total surveillance and what's going on legally, and Capitol Hill for the betrayal of freedom from surveillance. So anyway, I hope you've heard something today. It sparks your conscience and awakens your part in the global revolution in higher consciousness that is accelerating through the 2020s. So keep the faith, see the good, make it so, dance like no one is watching, love like you've never been hurt, and be the change you want to see. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.